For the last 4 or 5 weeks on Sunday morning, been doing a series on shining for Jesus. We've seen what we're supposed to be doing, how we generally just prick holes in the darkness, and God has told us to rip the darkness apart and so shine for Him that others are, just can see the glory of God through our lives. Amen? Well, about a year ago, I asked each one of you to pray for a new ministry that we were starting here at the church. I couldn't tell you much about the ministry, but to be praying for the ministry. And I hope y'all were praying. I believe that you're going to see evidence to support that your prayers were answered here in a few minutes. But let me just tell you a little about this ministry. The ministry's name is called Noonday Ministry. Noonday Ministry. And it was started last June. And the reason for Noonday Ministry came shortly after my father died. As I drove home from Rock Hill back here last April, there was a voice that kept echoing, a conversation my dad and I had shortly before he died, months before he died, that I just could not shake myself from hearing. I remember my dad saying, I believe that you are changed, he said, son, but if God is as real as you say he is real, and there are as many Christians in this world today that claim to be Christians, how come we never see them? That hurts, doesn't it? That hurts. You see, what he was saying without saying it to me is Christianity is phony, because there's very little evidence in this world to show that Christians are Christians. So if Christians aren't Christians, Christianity can't be real. That's the mindset of many, not just my dad. So as I drove home, I'm thinking to myself, how can we change that precept? How can we change that ideal that people have about Christianity? Because I believe we are Christians, amen? How is it that others can see Christ through us on a daily basis? So God gave me the idea for this ministry, which is called Noonday Ministry. And this is the Noonday Ministry. These are the rules for Noonday Ministry. I would pray, and I would pray that God would lay somebody on my heart every month. One person from our congregation every month. Okay? Now, these are the rules of Noonday Ministry. You are to receive a $500 gift card. You are to use discernment as to who and to when to use this card for. What to use this card for. Number two, you are not to use this card for any family, extended family, or personal friends. You are to use this card for those who are complete strangers. You are to record the purchases of the person's first name and keep a short journal for your testimony time at the end of the year. You are to tell the person you are ministering to your first name, the name of the ministry, and the church's name, if need be, but you need to help them to understand that this gift that you're giving them is from God who loves them, not from man. It's not coming from me, this is coming from God. You must spend all of the $500 before the end of the month. Excuse me, hold on for a second. How many of y'all can spend $500 in about 2 minutes at Christmas time? How many? Melissa, you can't spend $500 at Christmas. We all can. But this was a struggle, and I didn't think that would be a hard thing for people to do. But then God showed up. God showed up. And the testimonies that you're about to hear are phenomenal. Now, I've told them that they need to keep them till about 10 minutes. The next two Sundays, this Sunday and next Sunday, you're going to hear about what God has done through this ministry in this church. But I've told them to keep it to about 10 minutes. I believe some can, others, I'm not sure. Okay? Now, the scripture and the reason, and the scripture for this came from Isaiah. The central scripture is Isaiah 58:10, but I want to read just quickly starting in chapter 1. Now, Isaiah 58, chapter 1, it's, yes, verse 1, talks about true fasting. Fasting. Now, as I look out across the crowd, we all need to fast a little bit more. Okay? But listen to what God has recorded for us to understand about true fasting. Cry out loudly. Listen, Southern Baptist, listen to these next two words, these three words. Don't hold back. There's so many times that I hear people come to me and say, Brother Kyle, I just felt the Holy Spirit, and I wanted to raise my hand, I wanted to shout, I wanted to praise God, but I just didn't. Listen again. Cry out loudly, don't hold back. God's giving you permission. I've already given you permission. Give yourself permission. Raise your voice like a trumpet. Tell my people their transgression and the house of Jacob their sins. They seek me day after day and delight to know my ways like a nation that does what is right and does not abandon the justice of their God. Now listen, they ask me for righteous judgments. They delight in the nearness of God. Why have we fasted, but you have not seen? You've asked that question. Why have I fasted, but I haven't seen God? We have denied ourselves, but haven't even noticed. Look, you do as you please on the day of your fast and oppress all of your workers. You fast with contention and strife to strike viciously with your fist. You cannot fast as you do today, hoping to make your voice heard on high. You can't. Will the fast I choose to be like this? A day for a person to deny himself, to bow his head like a reed, and to spread out sackcloth and ashes? Will you call this a fast? A day acceptable to the Lord? Isn't the fast I choose to break the chains of wickedness, to unite the ropes of the yoke, to set the oppressed free, and to tear off every yoke? Is it not to share your bread with the hungry, to bring the poor and homeless into your house, to clothe the naked when you see them, and not to ignore your own flesh and blood? Then your light will appear like dawn, and your recovery will come quickly. Your righteousness will go before you, and the Lord's glory will be your rear guard. At that time, when you call, the Lord will answer. When you cry out, He will say, "Here am I." If you get rid of the yoke from around you, the finger pointing, the malicious speaking, and if you offer to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted one, then your light will shine in darkness and your night will be like noonday. Imagine that. Pitch black, and your night will be like noonday. The Lord will always lead you, satisfy you in a parched land, and strengthen your bones. You will be like a watered garden and like a spring whose waters never run dry. Some of you will rebuild ancient ruins. You will restore the foundation laid long ago. You will be called the repairer of the broken walls, the restorer of the streets where people live. Any of y'all watched the news the last two or three days? Savannah needs people to shine their lights. We need to be willing to shine our lights, to shine for Jesus. Now, I don't have time to really break this down the way I want to because God has something else in store. Go back and read that scripture. We have a promise here. And I do want to read the promise. I've got to read the promise again. Listen, the Lord will always lead you. If you'll just shine for Him, the Lord will always lead you, satisfy you in a parched land, and strengthen your bones. Well, how do I do it? Shine in your light. Now, this morning, we have six people who are going to come and tell you what God did when they were the noonday person of the month. The first one's Angie Page. Angie was last June. She started this off. And Angie, you come on. She was given a $500 gift card. And remember, I told you all the expectations. Couldn't spend it on family, friends. It had to be complete strangers. And you had to do it within how long? 1 month.
I'm extremely nervous, so bear with me. You can probably hear my heart pounding through the microphone. And mine will not be 10 minutes, I can assure you. I received the card on May 31st, which was a Sunday afternoon. It was the first day of VBS. When I got it, I thought this would be a very easy task, an easy ministry to take part in. I was wrong. I set out to find the perfect person or people that needed my help. Usually I see someone in need every day, on the street corner, in a parking lot, or in a store. Days went by, nobody. Then weeks, still nobody. I found myself riding through parking lots that were not in my normal shopping places and taking streets that I did not normally travel looking for people that I could help. After a few weeks, I began to get a few possibilities, but none of them panned out. There was a man in the Dollar Tree. His card wouldn't work, and I thought, okay, this is the guy. This is the one. They kept swiping it and swiping it. Manager had to come over. Wouldn't work. I thought, this is the one. Well, they finally got it to work, and as soon as they did, he let them have it. He let the expletives fly. I mean, the whole store could hear him. I said, okay, he wasn't the one. Then there was a lady in Walmart. They brung everything up. Card wouldn't work, and I started putting my stuff down. I said, she's the one, she's the one. And she was saying, I'm going to have to put all my stuff back. What am I going to do? I can't believe I've got to do this. Well, I thought, okay, this is it. Finally, she found her card. They rang her purchase up, and everything was fine. So she wasn't the one. I saw a couple of people standing on street corners. Usually see them holding signs or just standing there looking like they need help, and I thought, okay, this is it. But then I thought, I didn't have time to go make a purchase of food or water or whatever and bring it back and then still get about what I needed to be doing. I didn't have time. So it just didn't work out that I could assist them. Around the beginning of July, or maybe it was August, one of the other people that you'll be hearing from came up to me and said, hey, I hear you are in the noonday ministry. How did it go? I said, you're asking the wrong person. I've not spent one dime. Nothing. I said, this is what I've been doing, but it hasn't worked for me, so I hope you have better luck. I hated to tell him that I had not done anything with the card, and honestly, I felt like a failure, because at the beginning, I thought this is going to be so easy. August finally rolled around, and I still had not spent any money. Brother Kyle would call periodically and ask for updates. I hate to answer the phone when I see him. Calling me, it's like, oh, I know what he's going to ask me. But anyway, I would tell him I just don't have anything to report, and he'd say, pray. Just pray for God to send someone your way. And when he said that on a couple of times, I finally realized that I really had not done that. I had set about spending this money. I was trying to make this my mission and not his. I was doing all the driving around, picking out my own paths, trying to do it on my own. I finally changed my strategy and asked God to take control. Finally, on August 11th, now I got the card on May 31st, and I was supposed to be through by June 30th. I had an opportunity. I did. I finally got the opportunity through social media. I found out about a a college freshman who was heading off to school in a week who lost everything in a house fire. So I thought, there's an opportunity. So I was able to help her with some basic necessities for school. And then about 2 or 3 days later, through social media, Facebook can be a good thing, I was able to help a new mother who had some needs with a newborn baby. So then I felt like, okay, I'm on a roll. I had spent some of the money, but I still had a good bit left. Around mid-September, Brother Kyle asked me for another update. And I had mentioned to him that there was a person that the Lord had laid on my heart who I felt like was struggling, and she hadn't said anything to me, but she had just been on my mind, and I really didn't know why. The reason that I mentioned it to him was because it didn't fit the traditional requirements. And you remember that day that we talked? It had to be someone you didn't know or a family member. And he said to me, if God laid her on your heart, pray about it. She may be the one. It was a coworker. 5 days later, she came into my office and shared that she was struggling terribly financially. And it was almost to the point of despair for her. If she wasn't able to get some relief from a debt that was hanging over her head, she just did not know what she was going to do. I asked her how much she needed to get this debt taken care of, and it was almost to the penny what I had left on that card. Remember that? Almost to the penny. She had no idea. I had not shared with anybody at work that we were doing this program, so she had no idea that this was something we were doing. She had worked for me for over a year, had never discussed her financial situation with me. So I know it was a God thing, the timing, the amount of the money, everything. God brought her to me, which is what I should have been doing all along. So finally, after almost a full 4 months, I was able to use all the money to help other people, but only with God's help. I thought I had this thing in the bag and would use the money in no time, but God had to show me that I needed to listen to him and let him lead. And it turned out to be more of a blessing to me than the people who were receiving the help. But that's usually the way it is with God. And I've got one final point. I had already typed this up when Brother Kyle came to me with an outline. It was family night at VBS. And he said, here you go, are you ready? I said, well, I'm not ready, but, you know, I've already got my stuff typed up. And he said, well, these are just some guidelines. And one of the first questions on there was, how did you feel when you were asked to participate or be a part of this ministry? And I already had this in my notes, but not knowing what he was going to give us as guidelines. And honestly, if you remember when I first started speaking, the day he came to me was the first day of VBS. I don't remember exactly what time it was. It had to be between 4 and 6. He came to me when I was trying to get my room decorated. I was in a frenzy trying to get everything ready, get my craft set up and everything. And I think I probably told him, I know I thought it, I think I told him, I don't have time. I'm busy. Can't you see? I'm busy. I've got things. I mean, those were thoughts running through my mind. I don't have time to go down there to his office. He said, come to my office. And I was moaning to myself all the way down there. I've got so much to do. I really don't have time. I figured he wanted to talk to me about how much better his chili was than mine, or what a good team, you know, Carolina was, just the way he normally banters back and forth with people. I went in his office and I sat down, and it was Steve, Bill, Gary, me, and him. And when he told me what he wanted to talk to me about, I felt about this big. My attitude was not what it needed to be. And while I said that one of the reasons my ministry wasn't working was I wasn't letting God lead, the first part was my attitude was wrong. And my point in telling you that is we can do all kinds of things, but if we don't have the right attitude and the right mindset and a heart for it, God's not going to use it. Thank you.
Amen. She was June. Deborah, you were July, right? Come on.
I don't have have a lot of notes. I, like Angie, was excited when Brother Kyle came to me, because who don't like to go shopping and spend $500? I thought, good grief, I can do that with no problem. So I took the card and I was all set. And I, like Angie, I went out in my day and I started looking for opportunities. And it was July the 1st and time kept rolling on. And I kept looking and time was catching up with me and I couldn't find those opportunities. And so, again, not like Angie, I was focusing more on me and not what God would have me to do. And so we had come to a WMU meeting up here on a Monday night, and we were in the chapel, and I don't remember who came in, but we had left the front door unlocked, and I said something, I think, to Pat. I was like, I don't think we need to leave that front door unlocked. It makes me nervous. And somehow or another, we got sidetracked, and we left it unlocked, and no sooner than we got started, a man walked in. And I got nervous. I mean, we're living in a cold world right now. There's a lot of crazy stuff going on. And so he wouldn't come all the way in. He kind of stopped at the door. And so I got up and I went back to him and I said, can I help you? And he just started crying. And he said, I've got my son living under a bridge down in Pembroke. I need money. He said, no, he didn't even ask for money. He said, I need somebody to go to the corner store and fill my car up for me. So I thought, well, I can do that, but I'm not going to do it on a Monday night by myself. So I told him, I said, if you can come back on Wednesday morning to the church, I'll see if I can help you. So I sent him on his way, and I prayed about it, and so I took, and I got a $100 gift card. And when he came that Wednesday morning, he said, you know, are you going to follow me down and get me the gas? And I said, no, I've got a $100 gift card. I want you to take it, and that way you've got gas. And he didn't want the card. He literally did not. All he wanted was a tank of gas. But I told him, I said, no, I think you need this. I want you to have food. And he was trying to get to Canton, Georgia. So that was my first opportunity. So then I felt better. It was about the middle of the month, and I was starting to feel a little better about things. And then as the month rolled on, I'm like, Angie, I even went to Brother Kyle, and I was like, I thought this was going to be, I mean, I made fun of Angie. Because I knew she was struggling. I was like, well, you know, what is so hard about it? But it's really hard, because I think I was focusing too much on the rules of who it could be for and what it was for. And so, like Angie, I'm get on Facebook, and there was a young mother on Facebook that was wanting to trade some baby food for diapers. And I just thought, gosh, you know, you got a baby, you need your baby food and your diapers. So I just wrote her and I said, let me get you some diapers. Don't trade your baby food away. So there was another opportunity. So I was able to meet up with her and get her some diapers. And so, again, be able to use it again. And then one day at work, I had a young guy come into my office. And I'm the only one in my office. I was by myself and I didn't know who he was. And he came in and he said he was looking for Mr. Scott, who's my boss. And I said, well, he's not here. He said, well, I started working for your company this morning, and somebody said he might loan me some money. And I said, well, he's not here, and I don't sign checks. And he said, well, he starts telling me, I've got a two-year-old at home, and my wife just had a baby, and we don't have anything. I mean, a two-year-old and a newborn baby, they had no diapers, no wipes, no formula, no nothing. He first day at work, so I was like, well, I said, if you're going to be here tomorrow, I can help you. So again, another opportunity, I was able to go and get him some diapers and some wipes and some formula and help him out. And so the end of the month is getting there, and I've still got well over half the money on the card, and I'm starting to get a little panicky because Brother Kyle's very adamant, you got to use it by the end of the month. And so we had started Awana back in February, and the rules are that you're not supposed to know the people. So these three little clubbers, just the sweetest kids, one of the little girls came to me, and we were getting ready to do school supplies, and everybody was getting their new school clothes, and she just was kind of sad they weren't going to get new school clothes or anything. So I went to Brother Kyle, and I was like, I know the rules say strangers and, you know, not family or anything. I said, but I just really feel like I need to help these children. And so I was able to go shopping and provide school clothes for three children that, if not for this ministry, would not have gotten new school clothes. And you would have thought I had presented them with a check for $1 million when I took the items to the grandmother. She was overwhelmed. And those kids still, one of them still comes to Awana. Unfortunately, not too long after school started, the two girls were taken by their mother and had to move. But again, at least I was able to provide for them. So this is a very viable and necessary ministry, and it will cause you to sit back and think, you know, the people that were what we, you never know what somebody's going through. You never know who's struggling. Sometimes they're right in your face, and if you're not looking, you won't even see the opportunities. So one of the questions on here for me was, how did the people react to you when you were approached by them? People are overwhelmed with gratitude. Little things, a box of diapers, a pack of wipes, you don't have to do great, big, mighty things. At the end of the month, I had like $30-something left on the card. I was able to use mine. I had the $30-something, and I thought, well, what am I going to do with $30-something? So I actually went to the dollar store and bought cans of tuna and crackers, and I don't even remember what all it was now, and I made up 10 little bags. And as I seen the people sitting around, I would hand them a bag. And so I was able to use all the money. And it really opened my eyes, because Gary was talking about our food pantry. And I'm pretty much a lot of times the one that does give out the food. And I have to be careful when these people come, because I'm judgmental. I'm very judgmental. And I look at these people, and I've said something to Brother Kyle. I'm like, I ran by their house and I seen their new little $200 car in their yard for their kid, but they're coming to get food. And he'll remind me, you don't know where that came from, though. You don't know that they bought it, or, you know. So it has helped me to not be so judgmental. I don't know what anybody's going through on any given day. So it really did open my eyes to what the Lord can do if we sit back and let him do it.
Now, August came around, and Jeff is our August person, but he has switched with Pat because Pat is not going to be able to be here next week. So, Pat, now she's coming. I've got to tell you something else. I had initially asked her to do it a different month, and she had accepted, and the month that I had asked her was the same month that she found out about her oral cancer. And she came to me in tears, and she said, Pastor, I can't this month, but I want you to ask me again. So when God healed her, she had her month. What month were you, Pat? October. Okay.
All right. And I'm like everybody else. What woman cannot spend $500 in a month? Okay. And I did like everybody else. I started looking. I would go hang out at Walmart. I would walk the aisles and look at the registers and see if I could see a family and, you know, that looked like they needed help. I would go to the gas station, and I would sit there at the gas station and say, you know, just look for somebody coming up, maybe a carload of kids, and look like they couldn't afford a tank of gas, you know, and go to Kroger, do the same thing at Kroger. And this kept going on for a couple of, you know, mine went in a couple of months. Then I started texting the other names that he gave me. And I started texting them. It's like, this ain't working. You know, what did y'all do? Give me some suggestions here. What did y'all do? Because I can't find anything, you know, to spend this money on. And I want to spend this money. And then you got him. You know, every time you run into him at the church, how you doing? I'm like, good. Don't ask, you know, go on, you know. And then he's texting you, you know, how much you spent, you know. I'm like, nothing. He was like, he'd come back, really, Pat? I'm like, really? Nothing, absolutely nothing. And, Angie and a couple more people that I had texted came back to me and said, just pray. Like, God will show you somebody. Just pray about it, you know. So that's what you had to start doing. I was going down the questions that he gave us. The first one was, what was your initial thoughts when you were asked to participate in this ministry? The first initial thought was, why me? Why was I given the opportunity to do this? You know, and you feel something. God always gives you a purpose when you feel like you have none. And at that time, I was really feeling like I had none. And by him doing that, gave him purpose. Okay, and the second one was, how did the people react to you when you approached them? You would not be surprised. And me, I have a fear of approaching a total stranger. So I'm like, you know, God, this has got to be you, because I'm not one to walk up to somebody and do this, you know. And but he did. He showed the way. First of all, the people were just, they can't believe why you would be doing this for them. And that's their first question, is why. And I would say, believe you, it's not me, because this is, you know, I'm not normally one that would do this. This is God, you know, it's not me. And but some of the things that I got to do was, we have a girl in our office that her mother was going through chemo at the time. And she would go with her, and she would say, it is so sad watching, sitting there in that room while my mother takes chemo and watching what goes on around. You know, it's just a sad place. It's a sad place. I got to thinking about that, you know, and me myself, I could have had to go through the chemo and the radiation, but I've been one of those persons sitting there. So I text Courtney, and this was coming up on Valentine's Day. I said, Courtney, would they allow me to come in to where they're taking the chemo and give out some Valentine's stuff to the patients there? And Courtney said, of course, yeah, bring it, you know, whatever, yeah, bring it. So I went and made up little Valentine's baskets for about 30 patients. Took my lunch hour and took it over there. And just gratitude. I mean, when you walk in there, even the workers that were there, I brought them hearts, because, hey, it takes a dedicated person, it takes a strong person to do that. And so I wanted them to have something too, so I brought them some. But just, you know, I was giving it to Courtney, and I would say, here, just pass it around to the patients. Courtney said, no. You're coming in and you're passing it around to the patients. And I was like, oh, no. You know, this is not how it's supposed to go. But I did. I went in and I got to walk around, give each one of them something, and just to see a little smile on their face while they're sitting there taking the chemo. You know, it was just a blessing. It may not have done anything for them, but it didn't for me. The next thing I got to do, you know, of course, time passed again before any other thing came up. So the next thing I got to do was I went to Chick-fil-A to get lunch one day. I was standing in Chick-fil-A. You know, didn't even think about, I wasn't even looking around about buying anybody lunch or anything. And I was just sitting there, paid for my lunch, and something came up and said, buy the next four people's meal. And I'm like, where did that come from? I said, okay. So I told the lady at the register, I said, I want to buy. I didn't even look behind me to see who was behind me. I said, I want to buy the next four people in line, I want to buy their meal for today. And she said, you sure? And I said, yeah. So I just stood to the side, got my drink, and stood to the side, and watched her bring up the next four people. The next man that came up, he was looked like a businessman. He was dressed in a suit, got his meal, and she said, you know, he pulled out his wallet, and she said, it's taken care of. So he was like, what? She said, your meal's taken care of. And he was like, okay. So he just stood to the side. Next one that came up, she ordered her meal, you know, got told the same thing. The fourth one that came up was a lady traveling with two kids. And she went up there, she ordered, she just ordered three kids' meals. And she said, well, your meal's paid for. And she was like, what? Who would do something like that? And the lady told her, she said, you know, just, it's been paid for, don't worry about it. So they all stood to the side, got their food. But then when I walked up to pay for everybody's meals, and I don't know why it was the next four people. That just came out of my mouth. You know, you sort of like, look, where did that come from? But the lady that was traveling with the two kids had just gone through a divorce and was going home to her parents with her two kids. And she said, and I thought I barely had enough money to make it down to Florida to my parents' house. So I may have had to buy the three people before her meals just to get to her. But that was, you know, that was worth it. And so, yeah, that was the next opportunity. The next opportunity I had was, kept seeing on Facebook about the Dream Campaign. You know, and every time I would look at Facebook, Dream Campaign would pop up there. And I was like, well, what the heck, you know? So anyway, I started reading about the Dream Campaign and everything that was going on with it. So I thought, you know, this is a good outreach. Who would give up where they live at? And I had rode by the house, looked at pictures of the house that they're living in, and moved to a neighborhood and live in a place like this. I mean, it was a place that when you turn down the streets, you lock your doors. You make sure that your vehicle is locked up. And you know, and I was like, you know, it takes a special person to be able to do something like this. So there's a ministry right there that they are in need of help. And so I went to Sam's, bought snacks, you know, got in touch with them, asked them, what could you use the most? And she said, well, we have kids, when they get off the school bus, they immediately come here, and the first thing they want is chips and drinks, you know, cookies, whatever. So I said, okay. So we went to Sam's, got a bunch of snacks, came home, told Mark I wanted to take him over to the Dream Campaign's place, and I said, but I'm not going by myself. You know, I need you to go with me. So he did. We rode and turned down the road, and there's an ambulance parked right down from him. You know, lights are going and everything. I was like, oh, this is not good. You know, this ain't a good neighborhood. And he's like, are you sure this is where these people have moved to? And I said, yes, this is the address. Yes, this is where they moved. Found the house, pulled up, and about the time we started to leave is when the school bus stopped. And the kids started coming up to them, of course, you know. And every child that was walking, she was just hugging their necks. The girls was getting off the bus, you know, and just going straight to her, and she was just hugging their necks and everything. And so, it made me feel good. It was like, okay, there is a good, you know, that was good. The last thing I did was went to Kentucky Fried Chicken to pick up a meal, and there was three cops standing there, Garden City policemen standing there, and they were behind me getting ready to get their order. And so they go up, and they're arguing about who's going to pay. No, you bought yesterday. I'll buy today. No, you bought, I'll buy, you know, and all this here. I said, tell you what, I'm going to buy. You know, they all looked at me, and I said, I'm buying your meal. So I pulled my card out, swiped it, you know, gave it to the girl and all. And, you know, they were like, thank you. I said, okay, well, I stood off to the side. Everybody kept getting their food except for me. You know, and I'm like, I'm taking so long for my food. I didn't pay for their meal, you know, and here you are, forget my food, you know. And the cops got their food, went and sat down. And I'm still standing there waiting on my food. And one of the cops got up and he walked back up there and he said, you buying the food was not meant for me, but it was meant for one of the fellow officers. And he said, it was a testimony to him. He said, we have been witnessing to him. And he said, we went to sit down. And he said, before they went to sit down, they came by and they said, thank you. And I said, don't thank me, thank God. You know, and he said, we went and sat down. He said, he asked us, he said, because we're fellow Christians. And he said, why would anybody do that? And he said, I told him because she loves God. And God put it on our heart to buy our meal, and that's why. He said, that's God's way. And he said, so you not knowing you were a testimony for this one officer, you know. And so little things that you do, I mean, I finally, it took me about, 3 or 4 months? 3 or 4 months to spend all the money. But how did this ministry affect you spiritually? Like I said, it gave you purpose. It gave you purpose. And it also helped to see I should have been doing this all along. Why did it take the church giving me $500 and allow me to be able to do this? This is something we could do on an everyday basis. What message do you think God wants you to take away from the ministry? Ever since I did this ministry and everywhere I go, I mean, it was like after I spent all the money, I was going to, had went to the mall and was going across the street to the Royal Market and was coming through there, and there was a man digging in the trash can. So I seen him, so I rode, kept riding the park. I was by myself, so I rode the parking lot, couldn't find a parking place, circled back around, same man. I must have circled that parking lot 3 times, and that man digging in that trash can kept, every time I kept seeing him, every time I come around. And, yeah, afterwards, when I got home that night, I started thinking, we see them all the time. People that need our help. It's up to us to do it or not. It shouldn't take the church giving me the opportunity with $500. You know, if we see it, we should be able to do it. I used to get on to Mark all the time because I always told him he had sucker written across his forehead because it seemed like every time he turned around, somebody was coming up for money, or he was buying this and buying that, and I couldn't understand it. I was like, really? You know, why are you doing this? But we all have the opportunity to do it, and I think that's how God opened my eyes to let me know that, hey, it don't take a special occasion to do it, because since then, I have just constantly seen things that I should be helping. And I'm like, it was there before. I just had closed my eyes to it. I didn't want to see it, you know. But being able to do this opened my eyes up more to be able to look and see it.
All right, I forget who was September. Mr. White? Now look, gotta stay on time. I know some of y'all are saying, well, why hasn't he asked a man? Well, I asked who God put on my heart, so.
Well, I can tell you, when Brother Kyle asked me to do this, I said, oh, ain't nothing to it. I give away $500, ain't going to be no problem whatsoever. Well, I'm just like everybody else come up here. I prayed and I prayed that the Lord would show me who it is that he wants me to help. Well, one day I walked into Walmart and there was a grandmother with all the grandchildren, and she's in a wheelchair. Now, I didn't go in there with no idea about who I'm going to do this to, I'm by. I just asked the Lord, show me who it is you want me to help. So I walked up to this lady in the wheelchair and had all these little kids around. I said, I'm from Chevis Oaks Baptist Church, and God sent me in here today to help you out. And I said, it ain't got nothing to do with me. I said, I didn't have no choice about it. I said, God told me to help you. I said, I'm going to pay for your groceries. Her name was Mary. Well, Mary busted out crying. When I say she was crying, she just kept crying and crying and crying. She said, I was getting food for my grandchildren, and I ain't even sure I got enough money to pay for what I got in this buggy. You know, they got a little thing on the front of the car. I said, I guess that's the reason the Lord sent me over here. Well, I can't explain. I got more benefit out of that than the lady did, and she didn't even know if she had enough money to buy the groceries for the children. So, I continued to pray and ask the Lord to show me who it was. And I'll be honest with you, when you ask the Lord for something, you don't never, ever know what he's going to answer. Well, this guy was in the little gold buggy thing. He couldn't walk either. Older fella. His name was Carl. And I walked up to him. And I gave him cards. I told him I was from Chevis Oaks Baptist Church, and that God had sent me to him, and I was going to pay for his groceries. He said, Chevis Oaks Baptist Church, that's up there in the farms. I said, yes, sir, it is. He said, I was raised in the farms. He said, I've been to that church. He said, you really going to buy my groceries? I said, no. I said, God's going to buy your groceries. I said, I just happened to be the guy that delivered the money. Well, he was tickled to death. He said he might come by the church. And I'll be honest with you, I don't think I've ever seen him. I don't know why, but that's just the way it turned out. Well, I went in there a couple of weeks later. And I've been in there several times. The Lord didn't show me nobody. I kept praying. I said, Lord, I said, you ain't going to show me nobody else. I said, the pastor said we had 30 days to do this. I said, I'd hate to go back and tell him I couldn't do it because he thinks I just ain't doing my job. Well, the lady's name was Ann. I walked up to her and I told her I was from Chevis Oaks Baptist Church, and I gave her a card and I said, God sent me over here to pay for your groceries. That woman turned as white as that piece of paper right there. She said, do what? I said, I'm going to pay for your groceries. Now, she had a buggy full of groceries. She said, you're going to pay for my groceries. I said, no. I said, I'm going to give you the money to pay for your groceries. But I said, God is paying for your groceries. I want you to understand that. It ain't me. That lady busts out crying. She was taking the last money she had in the whole world to buy some groceries. That's all they had. She said, I didn't know if I was going to be able to pay the rent this month. Said, now I'll be able to pay the rent. I said, that's the reason God sent me over here. Remember now, I told you, when you ask God for something, you got to be expecting things that you didn't know was coming, but things happened that I didn't have no idea about. Rocked on, and one day I seen this lady was in, like I said, she was in one of them little go buggies. And right behind her was another lady in the same, another go buggy. Unbeknownst to me, they was together. So I went up to the first one. I thought I had everything under control. And I told her I was from Chevis Oaks Baptist Church, and God had sent me to pay for her groceries. Well, the lady behind her said, praise the Lord! And I said, yes, ma'am. I said, I want to pay for yours, too. The woman lit up like a light bulb. And she started praising the Lord, raising her hands. People was looking. They thought we was nuts, you know. I mean, it was. The lady's name was Frankie. And I didn't write down the other lady's name, but they was together. And they kept saying, praise God, praise the Lord. So I know that the Lord touched their heart. And then I went in there one day and there was a lady named Cassie. She had two or three kids with her, and I walked up and told her the same thing. And I told her, I said, God wants me to pay for your purchases today. And the tears come rolling down her cheeks. She said, you're not kidding, are you? I said, no, ma'am. I said, it ain't got nothing to do with me. I said, I'm just trying to do what Jesus tells us to do, and that's help our fellow man. So three days later, I went in. And like I've been saying, be careful what you ask the Lord for, because he's going to give it to you. Well, there was this Asian lady, and I walked by her, I turned around. Because everybody I had done this so far was in one of them little go-buggies. But not this lady. I walked up to her and I started telling her the same story. And I just make a guess. She was Chinese. Guess what she didn't do? She didn't know how to speak English. Oh, no. I'm standing here talking to a lady trying to tell her that I want to pay for her groceries. God sent me over here. And she's talking Chinese. I said, Lord, you really sent me over here to talk to this lady? She going to... So I got the cashier to help me. I said, help me explain to this lady that between both of us, we got the message across. This lady just went... and was going. Now I have no idea, none whatsoever, what she said. But I know it was, she was praising God. I don't know. I have no idea what word she was using. Well, a few days later, I'm going down through Walmart. And the Lord told me who to go talk to. I said, no, 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 I'm not going to do this. The lady had a scarf over her head, and I would have to guess that she was probably Muslim. So, Lord, I said, I can't do that. I just kept walking. Now, he wouldn't have that. Now, he knowed who he wanted me to talk to, and it didn't make no difference whether I agreed or not. I come back down through there, and he was just telling me, talk to this lady right here, right now, talk to this lady. So I took a big deep breath and I walked up there and I held out my card that said I was from Chevis Oaks Baptist Church. And she's trying to read the card. She didn't take it. She's looking at the card. And the next words out of my mouth was, I said, God sent me over here to pay for your groceries. Oh, no, 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 no. I said, yes, ma'am, for real. I said, God sent me over here. Now, God wanted that woman to listen. I couldn't talk that woman into taking that, let me pay for her groceries and her purchases. I tried. No, 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 no. Under no condition. She wouldn't even take the card from the... She wouldn't touch it. Now, when I left there, I kept asking the Lord, I said, did I misunderstand? I didn't help that lady at all. That lady probably go home and tell her family that some kind of nut was over there at the Walmart. But then the Lord laid it on my heart. He gave her an opportunity to know that he's the real God. Now she didn't accept it. But when she gets to heaven, she's going to know. Because she got to talk to the same man we got to talk to. That I really did come from God. I really, really, really felt bad that I had done something wrong in the process when the Lord let me know that I didn't do nothing wrong. I carried the word to somebody that wasn't interested in listening to it. And I assure you, under no conditions would I have picked out this lady. But it don't matter. That's our job. Our job is to take Christ to this dying world. Whether we do it or not is up to us. But I'll tell you what doing this has done for me. I look for people that I can help. I run, get the go buggy for them when they're having a hard time getting out of the car, or take it back when they come out with their groceries. But this noonday ministry does as much or more for the person that's doing it, trying to help somebody, than it does for the person that you're helping. And I really appreciate the opportunity. Thank you, sir.
Now, we have two more, but listen, y'all sit there and watch ball games for 3 or 4 hours. Some of y'all tonight are going to watch that NBA championship for an hour and a half, 2 hours. All right? So just relax. September, right? You were September? Who was October? Dan Roth.
Those of you who have any experience with me teaching Sunday school know that it'll take a Herculean effort for me to get through in 10 minutes, but I'm pretty sure I can beat that man right there. And where is she? Pat, you need to work on your spelling a little bit. That wasn't sucker, that was servant written across his forehead. 10 minutes, huh? Okay. All right. I got a call from Pastor to come to the office. Now, I don't know about you guys, but my experience when someone says, come to the office, I need to see you in the office, has never been a good one. So I'm going to the office wondering, not wondering what have I done, because I always do things that are wrong, but I was wondering what he might have found out about what I had done. So he proceeds to explain to me that Pat couldn't do what he was asking her to do, so he thought of me, and he asked me if I would come in and take over for her. And my initial thought was, yeah, so I'm second string? I'm like, hey, Rolf, she's been injured. Get in here. So, but I didn't think about that very long. First, I was actually honored. I was actually honored when he asked me to do this. And I thought it was going to be easy, just like everybody else. I thought it was going to be easy, but it wasn't. And thanks for doing this little outline thing, because it's been very helpful for me. How did people react to you when you approached them to help? Most people accepted and were grateful. But I'm not going to kind of focus on that sort of thing. I'm going to focus on something that was one in particular that was incredibly memorable to me. And I'm a man, by the way. I'm a real man. I am not going to cry in front of you people, okay? If it looks like it, it's just a speck in my eye. And it was very difficult. It was very difficult, but he only gave me about 20 days to do it in. And I didn't finish in a month. I didn't believe that part anyway. Well, I was coming from somewhere down 95, and I hit 204. You know how everybody stands out there, how so many people stand out there asking for money. And when I see them doing that, I drive up. I take a look over to the Waffle House parking lot there. And if there's a car parked way over here by the tree, I see what kind of car it is. And then I'll look at the person that's out there. And frequently their car is over there, by the way. I look at the person, and I judge them. And I know that's wrong. But I judge them. And that makes a determination for me whether I reach in my pocket and give them something. And it's probably something I should not do. But this particular guy, it was very clear that he was a needy person. I mean, very clear. So I take out a $20 bill. I had some money, actually. I don't normally carry any money around. You probably know why. But I had a $20 bill and some tracks in the car from back there. So I said, what a chance. So I took one of those tracks. I wrapped that track up in the $20 bill, kind of folded it up, and then rolled the window down. And when I get up to the guy, I reach out, and I'm all ready to say, God has been good to me, and I want to pass it on. Well, the guy reaches out to get it, and before he takes it, and before I can open my mouth, this man says, God bless you, brother. And we hear that an awful lot. I mean, we hear that an awful lot when we do things for people. But the way this guy said it, it was heartfelt. And I knew he was very sincere when he was saying this to me. And it struck me like a fist to the jaw, because here I am rolling up a $20 bill to give to this guy, and I got a sense of pride. I'm getting ready to give this man money, and I'm feeling good about it. This isn't even my money. It's not my money. It's money that the church gave me to give to people. It wasn't my money. Where was my pride coming from? And that really struck home. Here's a man who has nothing and may well have had something in his life, probably did, but doesn't have it now. And he's blessing me. He's blessing me. Then I got to thinking, I am blessed. You know, by American standards, I'm not a wealthy man, but I made make enough to raise a family and all that junk, even have some ice cream once in a while. But by world standards, I'm an incredibly wealthy man. I am incredibly blessed. And here's a guy who has nothing blessing me. And I got to thinking about that. And not all right away. I mean, this has really kind of haunted me, to be honest with you. I got to thinking, which guy's more blessed? Me or him? You know, we don't know what we have and how blessed we are until we lose it. And most of us are not and have not been in that position. So here's a guy who is at the bottom, blessing me. God's blessing to me. And that was an incredible, incredible lesson to me personally. I decided also after that, that because this was the church's money and not mine, well, first of all, get rid of pride. Get rid of pride. I decided that, you know, going forward, what I'm going to do is keep it up. Keep it up. Like at the beginning of the month, maybe take $50 or whatever and stuff it away in a little area in my billfold that my wife can't find. And not go looking for ways to use it, but to have it when an opportunity arises. Pastor's talked about it before. He's driven away from an opportunity and been sorry about it. And most of us run into opportunities, and we may not even have the cash on us to even do anything. We want to, but sometimes we don't have it. You know, by the time you go get some money and come back, the situation might not be there. So on a monthly basis, continue doing this as a person and make sure that you don't let that pride get in there, because guess what? That's not my money either. That's money that the Lord has entrusted me with. It's not mine, so there is no area there for me to be proud about it. I hope none of you have that feeling, but I had that feeling when I was doing it with that gentleman, and it was wrong. It was wrong. So, obviously, it really, as everybody else has said so far, it really, I got more of a blessing out of this whole experience than anybody I helped, by the way. Now I'm going to page 2. We'll be done shortly. It did affect me in a profound way. I will never, ever forget. And I'm a forgetful person. I forget stuff all the time, and it's not Alzheimer's. It's been happening to me since I was about 3. But this thing sticks with me in my brain all the time. So that's something that God, I believe God was talking directly to me about. The other thing was that my thing, what I was going to say, was God's been good to me. And I just want to pass it on, you know. And if we can talk about it, I'll be able to share. And take. Well, I go to Chevis Oaks, you know, church, and all that kind of stuff, which we all want to do. But then I got to thinking, I need to change what I'm saying so I can be more clear about who I believe in. So I decided to say, I am a Christian man, and the Lord has been very good to me, and I want to pass it on, and then hopefully we get started. But I wanted to relate it to Jesus Christ, not just God. To us, God, we think God and Jesus in the same breath, but not everybody does. So I wanted to make that very clear as well. Am I good? 10 minutes? Are you proud of me? You're proud of me. Thank you, Pastor.
All right, we got one more for today. And listen, next Sunday we're going to have a celebration. We're going to have a covered dish lunch here on church grounds. I know, well, hold on, Pastor, we don't do that in June. Well, get over yourself. We're going to have a covered dish here next Sunday morning. So you ladies, y'all prepare. And we're going to have a celebration next Sunday. Amen? Amen? All right, we have one more. Where is she? Come on.
I knew I would be really nervous, so I typed mine up, so bear with me. For the month of November, I was asked to be a part of the Noonday Ministries. When Brother Kyle asked me to do this, I didn't hesitate to tell him that I would. It wasn't until a few days later it hit me what I had agreed to do, and I thought to myself, what in the world have I just agreed to? I was very nervous and scared, thinking that whoever I would come into contact with would not take me seriously or completely deny my help. I thought that people would just look at me as some young college girl who really couldn't meet their needs, no matter what I said. The devil began to feed me many lies, and I'll admit, I believed them, until the Lord used those lies to show me the truth. Out of everyone who had gotten a gift card before me, I was in a unique position. I was the only person who had received the Noonday card who was on a college campus every day of the week. Through this realization and prayer, I was able to pass out bags full of goodies to encourage other college students near finals week. After that, God led me to a couple of families, individuals, and a homeless camp that were in need. Out of everyone that I came into contact with, two instances where I was able to use the card stick out with me to this day, one being the Keylor family and another with a homeless man at McDonald's. The man I encountered at McDonald's was sitting outside in the heat, so I brought him something to eat and drink. The man was very angry when I tried to give him the food and told me not to leave the food with him. After my encounter with this man, I was very discouraged. Out of everyone that I was able to help by having this card, he was the only one who denied the help. This situation helped me to see that not everyone is going to be receptive to Christians sharing God's love, but that does not mean we should sit at home and not spread his love. Another memorable event was the one I had with the Keylor family. The mother of this family had just delivered their daughter at just 24 weeks. I was able to buy the things the family would need for their long stay in the hospital. Right before the baby got out of the hospital, her parents sent me a letter. They explained to me that the day I came to the hospital to visit with them and deliver things they would need for their hospital stay was a very tough and sad day for them. They also wrote how just a single gesture of someone thinking of them and meeting their needs lifted their load for just a moment. Being able to meet this family and meet their needs was completely humbling, knowing that God used me and sent me at just the right time to lift their family's spirits. Throughout the time of having this card, I was thrown totally out of my comfort zone and was scared to death pretty much every time I thought of the card. Before having this card, I let fear get in the way and let it stop me from sharing God's love with others. But I couldn't just sit and do nothing anymore. God had given me $500 for a reason, and he was not going to allow me to use fear as an excuse anymore. God was working in and through me, showing me that even when we are doing something we would not typically do, we can be fearless. The time that I had this card, 2 Timothy 1:7, was running through my head constantly. And it says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fearfulness, but one of power, love, and sound judgment." I'm not completely fearless yet, but I know that God used this ministry to make me a little more fearless. God can make you fearless. So get out there and share, because if we don't share God's love, who will?
Don't you hate watching those TV episodes when, I mean, it's getting good and you know something's coming and it's not done and all of a sudden it says to be continued. That's exactly, you gotta, gotta wait till next week. So let's all stand. And there, I'm gonna tell y'all, there is somebody in this congregation who was not asked to be a Noonday person, but you're going to be asked to come up here and give a testimony because you experienced firsthand what the Noonday person did. You don't even know who you are. You think, oh, it must be so-and-so. It's you. It's you. But this morning, as we close, you've seen how God's moved through these people. God's still at work and God's still moving. If you're here for whatever reason, you thought you might be here for baby dedication, or you might be here with a friend, or might be a first-time member, or a first-time guest. Let me tell you something. God is still reaching out every single day. And if you're here this morning or this afternoon and you don't know Christ as your personal Savior, now is your opportunity to feel His love and to experience what all these people have been talking about. So I want to ask Pat, if you will, to come. And I want to ask everybody to just bow your head and close your eyes. If you're here this morning and God's touched your heart and you just need to come down to this altar and pray, we want you to come and pray. But I'm going to be standing right here at the front. If you want to accept Christ as your personal Savior, spend all eternity with Him, won't you come down? I'll have somebody show you exactly what Scripture says. Not me, what Scripture says every person must do to go to heaven. Do you want? Is that what you want? is the Holy Spirit leading you right now to come. So as the music plays, I want you to come. The altar's open if you want to just come and kneel and pray to the Lord.